It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend.
Dan Kilbert, SpartanTailgate.com with us.
I'm sure it's hard for him having to go through everything he went through with, you know, everything being so public about his weight, you know, gaining weight, losing weight. You know, it's all part of the public, and, you know, most college kids don't have that where people are constantly asking you, how much do you weigh, how much weight have you lost this week?
If anybody in the dorm feeds Nick, I'm going to kill him.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Now, here's Dave Benton.
Welcome in, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with you, Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. It's going to be a basketball-heavy show today. Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network will be with us at 9:30 talking MSU and Purdue and the Big Ten basketball scene in general. 10 o'clock, Jeff Washburn from the Lafayette Journal and Courier will talk specifically MSU-Purdue with us. And then at 10:30, we'll break down the RPI a little bit with Jerry Palm of collegerpi.com. So it's going to be a basketball-heavy show. We'll talk plenty of MSU-Purdue today. But we start on the pro side of things, and I don't often talk NBA because I'm not a big fan. In fact, I hate the NBA. I always have. I think it's just pick up basketball with sponsors. In fact, I pay attention to it because I know the public cares about it. I pay attention to it because people like the NBA. But here's an example of how much I don't like the NBA. Last year, I watched Game 7 between the Celtics and Lakers. And at the same time on AMC, A Few Good Men was playing. And I found it very difficult to not switch over to A Few Good Men and just touch in on the NBA Finals to see what was going on. And that was Game 7 of Celtics-Lakers, the greatest rivalry in all of NBA basketball. So that's how little I care about the NBA. But I do pay attention to it. And the current trends that have been happening in the last couple of months and have really taken steam in the last week are making me hate the game even more. I mean, we've hit a new period in the NBA. We are now in the players' run period, okay? Players completely rule this league. Players can demand trades. They even run organizations in certain circumstances. And now, at this point, you won't even have to be out of contract to go to a new team of your choosing. Just take a look at Carmelo Anthony. Wanted to go to the Knicks? Guess what? He got the Knicks. In fact, at this point, what happened with the big three over the summer, to me, is not a big deal. In fact, I think we completely overdid that whole thing. Okay, when you look at it, both LeBron James and Chris Bosh were free agents. They could go wherever they wanted, really. And in fact, they did their teams a favor by doing a sign-and-trade so their teams could get something out of the deal. So in my opinion, that big three thing is nothing compared to what's going on now with players demanding trades and things of that nature. It's a players-ruled NBA. And the Pistons, over the last couple of days, have become a perfect example of just how deep this problem runs. Because apparently, it's okay to sit out if you don't get traded and you don't like your boss. Okay? Unhappy with John Kuster. Five players of the Detroit Pistons, also probably upset that they were left on the sinking ship that they personally sank themselves, decided to sit out the shoot-around yesterday in Philadelphia. The five players, it's embarrassing almost. The players make the list makes me chuckle in amusement at these guys because none of them have any business staging any sort of a protest. Tracy McGrady, Rodney Stuckey, Chris Wilcox, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince. Okay, first of all, Tracy McGrady, I'm pretty sure everybody outside Detroit thinks Tracy McGrady is either playing in Europe or is retired. Okay, he's averaging 8 points a game. He's barely relevant. Everybody remembers Tracy McGrady of old. Nobody knows Tracy McGrady's still in the league. Rodney Stuckey, anywhere else in the league, would be sitting on the bench and playing about 15 minutes a game. Yet at the Detroit Pistons, because they wasted a 15th pick on him, are playing him a lot. Chris Wilcox, who is the funniest of all, has not been good since his sophomore year at Maryland. Okay, he's averaging 5 points a game this year. He's getting like $6 million this year. Deal with it. You suck at basketball and you're making $6 million, okay? So deal with it and sit on the bench. Rip Hamilton, who's been pouting all season and frankly has been pouting ever since they traded away his buddy Chauncey Billups. Now, whether that was a good trade or not is beyond what we're talking about here. The bottom line is Rip Hamilton's been pouting for two seasons, and oh, by the way, the Pistons signed him to a long extension as a thank you for his services. In fact, an extension that, in my opinion, would have paid him what pays him way more than what he'd be making elsewhere right now if he had decided not to sign that extension, because he's old. He stinks now. Okay? But no, he sulks, he pouts, and he goes to the bench. They find a trade for him. The Detroit Pistons and Joe Dumars find somebody who's willing to take his contract, his 2 years and $25 million left, willing to take him on. And what happens? Rip Hamilton turns the trade down. So you know what? Rip Hamilton has no backing to be doing any sort of protest because he was given his opportunity to get out of town. The only player who has any right to be upset at this point is Tayshaun Prince. And that's because Joe Dumars did turn down a trade for Tayshaun Prince. Okay, the Dallas Mavericks did go for Tayshaun. They offered a first-round pick and Caron Butler's expiring contract for him, and the Pistons turned it down. But you know what? If it doesn't go your way, it doesn't mean you get to just stop going to work. It doesn't work like that, okay? But that's how this league is now. Players run it. The coaches are there to fill out the lineup card, and that's it. Unless, of course, the player doesn't feel like playing that night. And I'm not saying that players shouldn't be able to go where they want to go and they shouldn't have rights. In fact, I respect what Carmelo Anthony did. Okay, he gave the Nuggets plenty of warning. He said, hey guys, I'm not signing with you next year. So if you want anything out of me, you should probably think about trading me. But 5 years ago, the Nuggets do not send him where he wants to go. They don't send him to the Knicks. Okay, 5 years ago, a franchise says, you know what, I own you. And you don't just send a person where they want to go. You send them to where it's best for your team. And this year, the best offer was with the New Jersey Nets. Derek Favors, Devin Harrison, four first-round picks is better than what the Knicks were offering with four marginally good players who will never compete at a championship level in a first-round pick. But the players run the show. And so Carmelo got what he wanted. And to that degree, the front offices are just as bad as the players because they let the players do this. They've gotten into the habit of saying, we're going to give the players what they want. You would never see an NFL franchise do what the NBA franchises are doing. Okay, take the New England Patriots. Richard Seymour says, I'm going to hold out because I think I deserve money. Patriots said, no, you're not. We're just going to trade you to the Raiders. The San Diego Chargers, okay? Vincent Jackson, their second best player, says, I'm going to hold out. I want a bigger contract. San Diego Chargers say, no, you go ahead and sit on the sideline. And then how about 13 weeks in when you realize you've got no bearing here, you will sign a league minimum contract and you'll play with us for the rest of the year. The NFL doesn't fall for this kind of stuff for the most part. But an NBA team has a whiny player and they let them go wherever they want. If it's me personally, I give Carmelo the ultimatum. I say, look, here's the trade from New Jersey. This is what we want to do. Do you accept or not accept this trade? No, I don't want to go to New Jersey. Well, then you're going to ride out the rest of this season, and you can risk trying to get a new contract after the collective bargaining agreement. That's what a franchise should do because they own rights to the player. The player doesn't own the team. So you need to get what you can. But it's the responsibility of the clubs to man up and say, no, you're not going to because I own you. Okay? But the players whine and demand because they know they're going to get what they want. And another point I think we should make is I think the players should be careful right now with this current trend of teaming up with buddies so they can win a championship because I don't think they see the entire landscape of what's happening. Okay, people say it's good for the NBA having those eight teams with all those star players. And when you look at it from a TV ratings side, I agree with them. I think it is good for the NBA. But if you want this league to succeed financially, okay, this is a terrible trend to be starting. If you have these few dominant teams with all these stars, that means you also have a whole bunch of awful teams that nobody wants to see. And with that, attendance suffers, ticket sales suffer, money suffers. Let me explain further. Okay, so based on this new trend of players teaming up, the NBA's got 30 teams, and I split it into three categories. You've got eight good teams, teams that are good right now. The big three comes to mind, Boston Celtics, even teams like the Chicago Bulls and LA Lakers who have one star and have built around that star. You've got six potential teams. Teams that have players in place that they can build around. Washington Wizards with John Wall. New Jersey Nets now with Deron Williams. And then you got 16 teams that are just absolutely screwed. Okay, and you look at these 16 teams, and I'm going to read a statistic to you. These 16 franchises, these cities, here's the attendance rank of these teams during these teams' last losing season. So the last time these teams had a losing season, here's what their attendance rank was. New Orleans was 30th, Denver 25th, Memphis 26th, Philly 27th, Houston 21st, Golden State 24th, Indiana 27th, Charlotte 26th, Minnesota 24th, Cleveland 29th, Detroit 26th, Milwaukee 24th, Sacramento 27th. Do you get what I'm saying here? People don't go to NBA games when their teams are not good. So that means although you have eight great markets and eight marginal markets, you also have 14 markets where people flat out don't care about the NBA. And I say that because although Utah and Toronto are screwed personnel-wise, they still get good attendance numbers because, let's face it, what else is there to do in Utah and Toronto? But think of this from a business side. Okay, drop the fan side of it. Drop the idea of playoff basketball between great teams because it is an appealing idea. Okay, but think of it purely from a business and financial side. If you own a business with 30 locations, you make a profit at 8 of them. You break even at another 8 locations, but then you are losing significant money at 14 of those locations. Is your business making money? Think about it. Now, by all means, players have the right to go wherever they want, and fans, those teams, they're going to love it. But you've now made the NBA a regional sport if you do this. And further, where's the money going to come from those next big contracts for these players that want to go team up with their player, with their buddies? So although on paper, these personnel moves and player team ups is a good thing, financially for the league, it's terrible. Not this year, not next year, but in the near future, it's an issue to watch out for, especially if executives continue to bow down to the players. Currently, the players' period is a good thing. But if the league wants to succeed in the future, they may want to think about making a change. Coming up next, I want to talk more about the Detroit Pistons with Scott and what exactly they have to do to become relevant now that they can't get a star player in free agency. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.